Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey hustlers, we know that this 2024, the entrepreneurial journey is filled with challenges. An often overlooked aspect is the time-consuming task of processing payroll and managing government requirements. And did you know that the average admin spends a whopping 50 hours per month dealing with just government compliance? That's time you could be spending on growing your business, or let's be honest, taking a well-deserved break. But fear not, we got a game changer for you, introducing Sprout Solutions and their tailored solutions for MSMEs called the Payroll Starter. With Sprout Solutions Payroll Starter, you can finally reclaim your time and get your life back on track. Say goodbye to the stress of remembering tax dates or worrying about missed payroll runs. This bundle is designed to make your life easier and your business more efficient. And here's the best part. The cost starts just at 5,000 pesos per month for businesses with up to 10 employees. Yep, you heard that right. That's just 5,000 pesos per month. So why spend another minute drowning in payroll paperwork when Sprout can revolutionize the way you manage your payroll and government requirements? Take the first step towards a more efficient business today. Visit sprout.ph/payrollstartermonthly5k. If you missed that, don't worry. We have it in the description box of this episode. So click that too. And again, big shout out to Sprout Solutions because your time is too valuable to be spent on paperwork. Reclaim it with their Payroll Starter. Now let's begin this episode.
The Hustle Share podcast is brought to you by DragonPay. DragonPay is the pioneer in alternative payments in the Philippines. DragonPay is the reigning fintech of the year in last year's Philippine Fintech Festival. Sign up now at www.dragonpay.ph.
After a few months nga into the program, no, sabi ko, you know what, I can have this parang create a tech company where we can make furnishing not only easy and convenient but also fun.
Welcome to Hustle Share, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here is your host, Ronster Baityong.
Welcome to the latest episode of Hustle Share Podcast. We finally got these guys or girls to be on the show. You know, I've been hearing a lot about them. And typically when there's a startup event, I can already tell that they're going to be the loudest in the room. They cheer the loudest for their peers all the time. And apparently they belong in a mafia. I just found out several weeks ago in the ID, the latest cohort 11 demo day of Ideaspace. But before I get carried away, let's welcome to the show Andrew Baracacho and Jules Veloso of E2 Homestyle.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks,
guys,
for having us.
Finally, we're here again. We promise not to be too loud. But actually, you can be a loud, okay. Very loud here. That's what podcasts are supposed to be. Very happy that I got to finally put the bandera, because we want to show that you guys hustle hard and you're not going to be part of a mafia by accident. But before I get carried away, I need to ask you the $1 million question. Jules and Andrew, or Drew, right? Yeah. What's your hustle?
First of all, thanks, Ron, for having us. What's our hustle? So we are a startup engaged in connecting Filipinos with a wide variety of quality vetted home and office furniture. So we are, we hustle. No, we try helping Filipinos to transform their spaces with greater ease and convenience. In short, everything home. Andrew.
Yes. Yeah, I think E2 Homestyle is really our main product. So as Jules mentioned, we are an all online catalog of mostly locally designed furniture. So I think a lot of the hustle is really sourcing for that trusted partner of local craftsmen and designers in the, all over the Philippines.
And again, you came at the right time because I was able to interview one of the main catalysts of this last year, Mayora Francesca Batuando, right? Homebodies who just, well, we were stuck in the pandemic, just boodled everyone. And now there's this thing called Team Puti, Team Kahoy, right? And whatnot. And it still haven't changed over since. But I think you guys started way before that. And before we even talk about that journey of how you were able to then ride on this wave, because it is a thing. It's now taking a life of its own. My wife likes to look at furniture before we sleep. It's either she's looking at really yummy food that we shouldn't be eating at that time, or looking at really aesthetic stuff that we don't even know where we're going to put anymore because there's stuff. But again, this is something that a lot of people really now actively and consciously build, because a lot of people, especially during the pandemic, were able to see the importance of their homes as a vessel for them to be able not to just to live in, but also work in. But before I get carried away, guys, I need you to buckle up. I think Jules is even in the car. Hoy, put your seatbelt on real quick. Okay?
Sorry.
Because we're going to have to go back and go all the way before you became Ituistas. I need to understand first how you became racketistas and hustlers in your own right. Because we're going to have to ride the Hustle Share time machine. Oh, there you go. Yahing the Pitan all the way back. Gate 1, the Pitan. There you go. All right. So I'm saying Gate 1, the Pitan, because before we started, I literally looked at their LinkedIn. I didn't know a lot about these guys. Again, aside from them being the noisiest every time there's a startup pitching event, automatically, the two guys are here. Okay. So I didn't know that they were Thamashians like me. And if you've been listening to the show, I have a heavy, heavy, heavy bias towards the Royal Pontifical University of Santo Tomas, because if you cut me up, the blood is going to be yellow. I was a Thamashian in high school and in college. So, okay, before we start about talking about your hustle in USD, I want to understand first the setting of how you guys started hustling very early on. Did you have any influence, or what type of family background did you get into? And what was that chip on your shoulder when you guys started out? I'll start with Drew.
Okay, ako lang. Jules, I'm much younger than Jules. But sige.
Shot fire, Jules, out the hell. There you go. Okay.
Oh, okay. So I actually, I started working at a young age. So I was a working student at USD. So I've been hustling since I was 17. So
What was your first job?
During that time, early 2000, I don't want to age myself, but early 2000 was like the first few years of BPO companies. No way. So it was fairly new. There was a part-time job available for like a quality assurance person. So essentially just like, you've seen my LinkedIn. My short stint in startup is really during the early stages of Lazada. I was employee 001 of Lazada Philippines. So essentially helping during the setup. So
Rocket
part
Internet
of the zero team. Back then it was Rocket Internet, founded by Rocket Internet, exactly. So it was two Germans, a Filipino, like a Filipino was based in the States, so Filipino American, and then myself. And then set that up. I took up communication arts in USD, so naturally I want to dip my feet in marketing industry. So I joined a PR agency, ended up working with Jules. So Jules and I actually were friends since we were college. And then our paths crossed again, and we ended up working for this PR agency. I was mostly, assigned to major design focus brands. So was doing a lot of like lifestyle brands that are like real estate clients, doing marketing for them, and met designers, furniture makers because of that. And then went to the client side. I moved to a real estate company, worked there for like a good few years, doing marketing mostly. And then the pandemic happened. And then before we start talking about E2, let's hear about Jules.
Wait.
60 years of work experience. Go ahead.
Right. I want to dive deep on a couple of stints that you did, because I have a very, very personal connection to your origin story.
Okay.
I too was a call center agent. That's actually how I learned how to speak this way. I am not American. I am very Filipino. There you go. I was born and raised in Kamuning, Quezon City. That's my hood, right? But the stuff that I learned at the call center very early on, my first job. So I was 17 years old, 2007, right? I was a full-time student in commerce. So my schedule is just 4 hours a day in UST. And then second year college, in between first year, second year college, that's where I started. But everything that I've learned, I've learned how to be a telemarketer. I've learned how to cast, unfortunately, very profusely. I've learned how to UST profusely. I was able to get because of that stint. But I also learned so much about myself that in the call center industry, what it taught me is like, I don't want to be an employee. I wanted to be an entrepreneur that early on in my life. I want to understand from you, Drew, what were the indelible things that you learned? Because you did this for quite a while. 5 years and 11 months is not quick, but it's character forming. I remember there's even one more person that we've had here, a Wonder founder, Bo, better team.
Right.
Industry veteran also in the call center industry, left an indelible mark on him. What were the things that you learned in a call center grind that you still carry to this day?
I guess we got lucky in a way because during that time, there was something available for working students like ourselves. That's not necessarily like working for like a fast food chain. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But at least I think during our time, we had that option to sort of be part of like a corporate setup. So I always say this, one of the biggest things that I took away from my 5 years in Convergys, actually Convergys Philippines. I think now it's, if I'm not mistaken, Concentrix. I think that setup, obviously it's an institution. I mean, when it came to the Philippines, it already was like an established institution. Right. So I remember the first requirement for regularization for the first 6 months of working was you absolutely cannot come in late. Your first 6 months has to be like a perfect attendance, kind of like, so I'm sure we share the same experience. So you really had to make sure that, you know, you show up on time and there's no undertime, you don't file for leaves or whatever, you're actually not entitled. Otherwise, you won't get regularized on time and you have to extend for another 3 months, etc. So
correct.
I think that made me realize how it is to sort of be in a space that's established and like how you're supposed to behave, essentially, I think. So right. I've also met a few mentors that have become friends, I think, that I still keep. Coincidentally, I just had dinner with some of them over the weekend. So
let's give them flowers. Who are they? Let's give them a shout out.
Nadine Benueza and Christian Backing. So they're both very successful. Now they're also like entrepreneurs, but they still have their corporate jobs. But they were my trainers. They taught me, you know, the language of the corporate world. Obviously, it's
there you go.
At 17, I mean, you're not really, you know, you don't really know exactly how to go. So they were guiding me literally. So I think when Lazada came, I was more than prepared, which was, I became part of Lazada in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And that responsibility I had to carry out during like my stay in Lazada was major. And I think if not for the first 5 years I spent in Convergys, I would not have been, I guess, successful in that phase of my life.
That's amazing. Now, Jules, before I jump into you, just one last question about the Lazada hustle. Because again, it's so weird. Your resume mirrors my resume. Okay. After I worked in a call center and became a student leader in college, I did call center work again. And then the first job and the longest employment I've ever had was 11 months and for a company called Groupon, which is also a Rocket Internet. I was employee, what, 7, 8 at that point, right? Now, it was pretty established, but that's when I learned how to sell. That's when I really learned, because before I learned how to talk in the call center,
right.
But I learned how to close in Groupon. That's when I became a full stack hustler, like from talking, building rapport, whatever, all the way to getting a damn check. In the earliest, I just want to understand, how did you even hear of Lazada? And Rocket Internet back then had a reputation of being cutthroat, breakneck speed. I don't care about what you're feeling. Either you go through us or we go through you, right?
Okay.
What was that experience like?
It was actually a happy accident. We had the recruiter from Convergys who ended up leaving the company and setting up his own headhunting firm. So it was like a freelance headhunter at that time, 2011.
Okay.
And we know each other because I was actually also an active participant of that account in Convergys. So meaning like the employee activities I would be part of. So he was part of the HR department that, you know, carries out activities for employees, etc. So anyway, we know each other. When he left Convergys, he reached out to me and asked like, you know, I'm now a freelance headhunter. I want to represent you. So, you know, if you like, you can send me your CV, etc. So I just think I gave him my CV. It was also the time that I was graduating from college. And I told him, like, this is perfect. So if you can help me find work that will challenge me, I'd be up for it.
Wait, are you quadri batch 2011?
Yes, I was in UST for 7 years. Because I believe that qualification takes time.
There you go. Okay, but again, you're quadri batch. Nobody can take it away. I was 2010. Right? So, but okay. You guys had special stuff pa nga eh. I forgot what it was, but the 2011 guys, that's the 400th anniversary of UST. Sorry. I'm going to wave my
commission. It was the maximum year that you can stay in UST. So, in my case was, it wasn't a choice. I literally had to graduate. Otherwise, I would no longer be allowed to enroll in UST. Exactly.
Okay. Sounds
anyway,
good.
So this person, this headhunter actually was contacted by Rocket Internet in the beginning. So they were, you know, they came in, tourist visa, nothing was set up. I had a meeting with the two guys from Rocket who came over. And, you know, it was a pleasant first meeting. I got curious. They were interested. And then back then, I think as outside of Groupon, it was all these group buying sites, diba?
Yeah.
That was like the e-commerce. Anyway, so you worked at Groupon, so you know Spaghetti.
Yep, Spaghetti 88. That's
and
her name.
Adelia.
Yeah.
And Bubbles, I think also worked at Groupon. Yep.
That I never got to meet Bubbles na. I left na when she...
Okay.
Name dropping random people that people don't even know. But there was a... I will never forget that person that my colleague, her name is Spaghetti 88.
Spaghetti,
I
know.
I'm not kidding. Right? Oh my God.
I know her, actually.
Yeah, it's not even pataas or pababa. She's just Spaghetti. There you go. Okay, so...
And she refused... I remember talking to her and she said, like, I refuse to change my name. So when she would, like... Obviously, as a salesperson, when you call restaurants or businesses to offer Groupon service, parang she'll always get, like, weird responses. Na, hello, this is Spaghetti. And then the other person on the other end of the line will say, oh, I did not order Spaghetti.
Yes, because we were cold calling back then. That's how the game was played. Cold calls and whatnot. All right. Now, before we, again, thanks so much, Drew. But before we take our first break, let's give first a sneak peek of the very early hustles of our mama, Jules. So, Jules, what was that experience like growing up? Like, again, what is the chip on your shoulder early on, preschool or while at school? Because you get...
Tell us about your 60 years of experience.
Oh, 60? Chang.
Okay, so parang, sorry, I can speak naman Tagalog, right?
Yeah, of course, go ahead.
Okay. Chip on my shoulder, I guess actually not a lot of people know this. I actually grew up in Tondo, no?
Which part?
No, wait, Moriones? I grew up in Tondo, in Pierre. Pierre, yeah, Manila pala okay. Yun, okay. So Pierre. So yung my father is an entrepreneur. Oh. So he runs a trucking company. And this trucking company is based in near the port area.
Okay.
So that's my childhood like. So every day I'd come from school, I'd go home to a dusty malikbok na parking lot ng mga truck ng tatay ko.
After passing through Tayuman, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Ganyan, port area. So it's not as glamorous, right, as childhood ng mga entrepreneurs. But that's really the kind of environment I grew up with, no? My friends are the sons and daughters of my father's drivers. But that's really, I think, my early exposure to what life is, no? Lots of, you know, ugly things. And, you know, sumasama pa nga ako mag-igib sa mga anak ng mga driver ng tatay ko para sa tubig. But I think that to me is an early exposure to hustle, right? And to me, I kind of feel I'm privileged to be able to get myself exposed to that kind of environment. And because these are early childhood, tumatak ito sa, I guess, sa utak ko, what life is and what hustle is. No, so that's really my childhood like. And then I went to a Chinese school, high school.
Which one?
And Chiang Kai-shek.
Chiang Kai, you're Chiang Kai. Oh my God. All right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that time, I'll kind of be personal na here, no? So it's a Chinese traditional school. It's, you know, boys and girls.
Sakya, Chiang Kai, Uno, yeah, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So that time, I know I was already sort of like getting, I guess, that sensibilities on my gender preference.
Got it.
I'm a trans woman. So that's really when transition began, no? High school.
Mm, okay.
So because I came from a Chinese, traditional Chinese school, there's lots of, you know, taas ng kilay about my gender preference. Yeah. No? That's really, I think, when I got exposed to rejections. Because, you know, not a lot of people appreciate that kind of preference.
Yeah.
Lalo na,
they don't understand. A lot of people...
They don't. Yeah. And at that time, there's that understanding about that choice. No? Mm. That kind of preference. Mm-hmm. But that's when really I get to experience rejection. I get to experience, I won't say bullying. I guess my family is very protective about bullying. So I didn't get to experience it. However, I get to experience
discrimination and all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I guess I came
misgendered,
right? And the time, hindi pa uso yung, I mean, there's not a lot of discussions or discourse about being misgendered. You know, you're a boy, you're a boy. If you grew up poor, right, good boy. Yeah. College, I went to another Catholic, no? Sabi mo nga, ako difficult. No? So I took up journalism because when I was growing up, I was really enamored by journalists creating mga documentaries. I really liked that, no? Growing up, no? So sabi ko, one day I'll be, you know, I'll be a journalist because I want to do documentaries, no? And I really, really liked. So I took journalism. So when I took journalism in UST, ang mga professor ko noon are veteran journalists.
Sir Jere Opiniano. I don't know if you're...
Si Sir Opiniano. So these are, you know, si Mr. Salvosa. These are, you know, people in the media outlet already and they have names. I realized napakahirap ng course ko because I'm not so good in writing. But although I'm naturally a curious person and that's very important from an aspiring journalist. But I don't think I'm a good writer. Because parang that's really the core strength. No? So I was really struggling when I was in college. Because it was very difficult.
There's no chat GPT pa back then. So you really have to write.
you have to do lifestyle. There's still parang literary journalism, feature journalism, news writing. Hard for me. And then I realized third, fourth year. Sabi ko, shucks, gusto ko bang maging journalist? Kasi ang hirap. Ang hirap talaga.
Yep.
So when I graduated, siyempre parang feeling ko lahat halos ng grades ko, parang pumasa lahat.
3 points.
ganyan. Okay. 2.75.
Kwento mo yung last, Jules, kwento mo yung last sem mo sa UST, kung ano yung hustle mo ng last sem sa UST.
It's my hustle.
Para lang nalaman ng how, like, para na maging relatable yung...
Okay, sige na nga. Oh my God. So... third year, fourth year, I was at the thick of transitioning. So yun na talaga yung parang I was taking hormones.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of alterations, medyo. Tapos parang I didn't want to take PE. I hated PE classes. Yep. So I didn't take PE. Alam naman natin sa UST, di ba? Ang PE first year, second year.
Yep, you have to have 4 semesters.
I don't wanna do NSTP. So cut the story short, medyo nag... procrastinate ako. Sabi ko, I'll take that na lang pag graduate na ako. So mga 30, 40. I was parang fourth year. Parang I was near 40, 45 units because I was in my first semester of fourth year. Dalawa yung PE ko. Tapos may isang NSTP. Because I needed to graduate, I realized hindi ako makagraduate without me taking those UP classes, PE classes.
You can't.
So, sobrang toxic ng third year, fourth year. Actually, fourth year, no? Kasi I was taking 2 PE classes. and one NSTP. Because I was trying to juggle, then at the time there was thesis. So it was super struggle for me.
What was your PE, pa? I hope you didn't take the Jabar one.
My PE was track and field ata. And then the second one was Arnis. Ganyan.
Oh, at least it's not, at least you didn't do sepak.
And then I was doing NSTP pa.
Or whatever.
No, I didn't naman. I was doing art.
Okay, that's
but
good.
At the time, I was struggling kasi I was already doing OJT.
Yeah.
Tapos I was already doing parang thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize na ganun pala siya kahirap when I had to procrastinate PE. And you know, you come to realize you will never finish college without taking those PE classes. So sobrang hard. I guess that was the beginning of my hustle. Like I was trying to get things done. I was trying to cruise my way through graduation. No? And then I graduated, I entered into public relations. Kasi parang I didn't want
to. This is where you met
na. I don't want to be a journalist. But I have a background on writing. And I always wanted to do corporate. No? Parang at the time, super cool to become a publicist or PR practitioner. At the time, I was enamored with advertising. So I kind of felt my track really, because of my background in writing, is really in public relations or advertising. So that's why I got into a PR company. And that's really my first exposure to corporate. Because I was, ano pa ako noon, I was what you call the media tracker or monitoring person. So I would go to the office 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd literally scan through the 9 newspapers and find kung my clients have PR.
Wow.
And then I would scan them and then I'd send it to the accounts executives. At the time, I was media monitoring and I aimed to become accounts. Parang I told myself, and at some point, I will become accounts executive or accounts manager.
Got it.
And then I realized super exposed to newspapers, that was an advantage because I guess I become more exposed to PR because of that. And then that's when I was promoted to external head for external affairs.
Yep.
And so I deal with a lot of media. And then I got promoted to business unit head for public relations.
Wow.
So during this period, naging kliyente ko na yung European Union, naging kliyente ko na yung Unilever. Oh. So I was with the company for close to 9 years, no? The peer agency.
Shit. Wow, that's amazing.
But yung 9 years na yon, that taught me client servicing. That taught me crisis communications. That taught me about managing media, managing stakeholders. So I think I also had a great mentor. Parang taught me how to become tough. Because I had a team, no? So I think to me, that was a tipping point of hustling. Because alam ko na I was also, I was a trans woman in the professional world. May konting, judgments, may stereotypes, etc. But my boss then was very supportive na parang giving me that break. You can be a boss. You can lead a team. So that to me was, I guess, a tipping point of my career. Doon talaga ako na-exposed. And then 2015, I had to take a break kasi medyo na-burn out na ako eh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2016, I took a break. And when I took a break, may mga clients ako or parang mga nakatrabaho na, Jules, baka you wanna do freelance PR, freelance communications. So that's when I built my first company, JDVM. No? So that's a PR company. I just wanna hustle. Gusto ko na magkaroon ng pera, but I didn't really wanna, I never thought of becoming an entrepreneur. I always tell people na I am an accidental entrepreneur.
Okay.
Na parang, okay, so I did gigs, right? Sabi ko, pero hirap na ako makakolekta sa client ko kasi wala akong resibo. Sabi ko, kailangan ko na magtayo ng ng DTI. So that's when I started officially putting up a company. That was in 2017. So, 2017-18, one of my former colleagues, her name is Crazy Pasigan. She works with a hyper-growth tech company. Grab Philippines. So we had a quick discussion. Sabi niya, Jules, baka you're interested to take consulting PR role under me,
Under Brian.
Yeah, so Brian, so until 2018, I became officially the PR agency of Grab Philippines. At the time, it was hypergrowth, diba? It was at its hypergrowth stage, really making a mark on the Southeast Asia market as ano pa sila, parang ride-hailing, diba?
Yep.
I think another tipping point of my career was working with the Grab Philippines at the time that they were acquiring Uber.
Yep.
So that to me was, I guess, very instrumental because I got exposed on how tech companies operate, how they essentially, that the growth mindset, no, yung grit ng mga boss sa loob ng tech companies, doon ako na-exposed. 2018-19, I also got exposed on how they launched new products, on how essentially the mindset behind growth, hyper-growth pa sila.
Yep.
So yeah, that's it. And then, at that time, I handled tech companies also like Red Doors, Lazada at the time, no? Kliyente ko na si Lazada niyan. And then, I also managed enterprise like Citibank, ING. So medyo, it became really big for me. And then, in 2020, at the height of a pandemic, I put up a new firm. It's called InCircle, along with my co-founders, Anna Baba and Icy Mendoza.
Shout out.
Ito naman, we pivoted to influencers. So, influencer marketing company, leveraging on the power of creators to promote brands for, and for public relations. So, that's InCircle. And ngayon, it's 2024. It's we've grown GMV by 11x since I put up that company in 20. So medyo hyper growth kami. I'm humbled to share that, I guess, quite successful company now.
That is amazing.
I'd say InCircle is shaping the way brands, marketers are doing influencer marketing. We're kind of a first mover in that space.
Yep.
So yun.
All right, now let's take our first break, and when we come back, we will now do a deep dive again on how they were able to do the PR agency hustle, because that was the confluence of how they did it. And we'll deep dive on what that process like up until when they decided to then create Itu after all these rackets and hustles that they did separately. But let's talk about that more after the break.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey guys, I have a very, very exciting opportunity I want to share with you guys. If you're a B2B startup founder, listen up. Your ticket to growth is here. Introducing Impact 24, the Philippines' largest B2B SaaS challenge. Calling all startups in their pre-launch, pre-seed, or seed stages, this is your chance to accelerate your growth, submit your pitch to Impact 24, and get ready for a 10-week intensive program to elevate your solution. What's in it for you? How about up to 500,000 pesos in MVP project support, exclusive credits from industry partners, personalized mentoring, and a shot to pitch at SaaSCon PH, the country's biggest SaaS conference this April. But yo, you gotta hurry up because submissions close on January 26, 2024 already. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your startup to new heights. Apply now at saaschallenge.ph. That's saaschallenge.ph. And good luck, and I'll see you guys in Impact 24.
All
And we're back in the break. We are still with Jules and Drew, who then told us their bonggang bonggang career that they did it while they were able to, again, give us each stop and how they hustled. But again, what I respect about you guys is that, let's just call it what it is. You guys are part of the LGBTQ community. And regardless of how you look like and how you've done, there's always going to be a handicap because even in a normal day-to-day grind, there's already discrimination. Let's just call it what it is. Now, whatever you choose to look like, whatever you choose to do, it sometimes just amplifies the discrimination or it doesn't. So there's always that chip on your shoulder. That's why I kept asking you guys about it. And regardless of how you look like and whatnot, there's always going to be discrimination and there's always going to be rejection. But I think it's twice or thrice for you, what you guys had to go through. But you also had a similar path under this PR agency. Let's give it a name already. It's not a mystery agency. It's freaking Geyser McClung. All right. When you drop that, y'all know who the boss is. It's Amor. So shout out Amor, right? And Amor, let's just call it what it is, also has quite the rep. But one thing that you cannot get denied from Amor is she is a hustler. Okay. Yes. She is the hustler's hustler. But I want to talk about this because this is where you guys confluence. You guys met in USC already. You were barcada. You were friends. This is where I think you guys reforged that respect towards that common bond that you guys did through. So I want to talk about that bond that you guys did. So I'll throw it right back at you, Drew, first. What was your experience and what was it like working with Amor? And how did that forge you to become the Drew that you are now?
Despite the opposing views about Amor, she ultimately shaped the person I am now because she paved way for that opportunity that probably not many trans women would have.
Right.
She encouraged me, pushed me to become a better version of myself professionally and in my personal life. Si Amor yung parang, regardless of your personal choice, no, people will judge you for your accomplishments and for your professionalism. Tumatak sa akin yun kasi dati I was in media monitoring, right? So umaga, so back end lang ako. Siya yung parang, no, it's time for you to talk to clients. It's time for you to deal with clients, di ba? At the time, 2007, 2008, di ba? Medyo tabu yun. I mean, a trans woman working in a bank, medyo, you don't see a lot of that, no?
Yep.
But si Amor was way, way ahead of all of us, no? Parang, regardless of your personal choice, no, I want Jules to have that opportunity to talk to clients, to deal with clients. And to me, that was pivotal kasi parang not everyone will be having that opportunity. And I had that. Sabi ko, from a position of gratitude to my former bosses, sabi ko, gagalingan ko talaga. I want to make sure na I won't disappoint her. Like parang I will really parang meet that expectation. So to me, that was a motivation, di ba? Tapos parang to the level 2012-13, pinapaharap niya na ako sa mga international clients. I was handling European Union. So ang mga kaharap ko, mga ambassadors. Ang mga kaharap ko, marketing managers of Unilever, of Unilab, Kimberly Clark. And to her, parang she knows that parang giving me that opportunity works for both of us, no? Mas ginalingan ko, I think, yun, no? That's one. I think parang Amor was that boss to me. Second, Amor kasi is known as someone who doesn't tolerate mediocrity. I mean, people may disagree, pero si Amor yung tipong pag client servicing, we mean business. Hindi pwedeng half-baked yung trabaho. Pag client servicing, client delight, di ba? Kailangan 110%. And she shaped the way I guess, approach on things. Hindi pwedeng mediocre. Kailangan delight, di ba? Client servicing at its finest. I think that's what I really learned from Amor, no? Yung hustle culture na parang, we have to make things happen. Di ba? Yun talaga. And third, I had some of the brightest ideas from Amor. I mean, people can argue about her execution skills, but her ideas are out of the world. Her ideas are some of the, I guess, innovative, fresh. And I took it from her. Diba? Parang, si Amor yung tipong will always push the boundary eh.
Yes. Diba?
And I learned all of those from her.
Yep.
So I really will tell everyone that, you know, I am who I am because the way she shaped my career.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
it does. And Jules, what's interesting here is that, you know, as an entrepreneur, and you become a leader, being now in her shoes, shaping the new generation, handpicking those people that you want to give opportunities. We pass along what we learn. And I had that too. And if you look back at what I'm at my fourth startup, I'd say probably half of the people that would have worked with me never fully understood why I was so intense. I was intense. Like, yo, but the problem that I had is I didn't really show a lot of poise. So I had to really work on that. But in terms of hustle, yo, we got to hustle. So what I'm trying to point out here is that when I choose to work with someone, it's my job. I always say it to every company that I start, that it's my job while you're working with me, because I know that this is all going to be finite. Eventually, there will come a time that you will stop working because there's no such thing as forever in any type of company. It's my job to push you to the hardest boundaries that you can be in for you to improve. Because if you're going to be with me and you're going to just rest on your laurels, waste away your prime years and not fast track, you're going to be, sometimes you're probably going to hate me. And I'd say a good majority of the people that have worked with me probably have that regret or what do you say, dislike of how I did it. But one thing I'm proud of is I push people to become better versions of themselves, whether in the end they like me or not. So that's probably why Amor was like that. And you said it yourself. I'm not trying to defend him. I've never actually gotten to talk to Amor more than hi, hello. But again, just speaking out of experience, that's our responsibility as founders. But Drew, what was your experience like in the Amoriverse? How did she impact you?
I think I share most of the sentiments that Jules shared. No? So Jules worked at Geyser almost close to a decade. No? I was there for dog years, so 7 years. In dog years.
Yeah. But, it's like, what is a dog year? Okay, there you go.
So when I joined Amor, I was already also doing like a similar job as Jules, client service. And I had experienced baptism of fire through Amor. I think when, as Jules mentioned, she will really push you. Mm. She's a complicated, complex human being, which we all are. I mean, I think parang, I always tell people that you just have to walk in any room with already like your own set of values.
Correct.
And you have to be humble enough or humble yourself to acknowledge that every person you'll encounter in your career, in your everyday life are different. So we're all textured. We all have layers.
Yep. Major no flaws.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think that's, I guess, the kind of resilience that you really need, like that you will learn to develop over time because, you know, you end up working with people that are more than just one character. I mean, you know, like how it is. I mean, even not just with Amor, but like with so many people we deal with on a daily basis, they all have layers. So, but I think, as Jules mentioned, Geyser was a... More than anything, it taught us being gracefully under pressure, being able to handle a different kind of stress and juggling. I think yung hustle ng Geyser was, I think there was a time that both Jules and I were handling at minimum 12 different accounts, 12 different clients. So, you know, you can imagine na parang... It really is very demanding, I think, but it's also equally rewarding. Geyser has turned so many like really groundbreaking campaigns. I think the Make It Makati, Make It Happen, for example, or the Toblerone Day that was celebrated for a while that was like a brainchild of Amor. We've launched so many brands of developers, etc. So may high point siya and it can get rewarding, but it is very demanding also.
Sounds good. Now, Drew, what I want to understand, so after this, what you did was, again, you went client side in the real estate.
Yes.
Before we talk about Itu first. So in Itu, this is also a very lengthy stint you did, not a dog year, but 5 years and 4 months.
Yeah.
What did you then do here? Is it basically now all the culmination of what you learned from the agency life, but in a client side? What was that like and how did that change your career?
So after Geyser, you know, I decided to, like, you know, I need to just like really focus on one thing and try to have like a, I guess, a semblance of like a work-life balance. I think it's the only way to do it. I mean, anyone who works at an agency and anyone who's performing while working at an agency would know that it is really a relationship, like full-time commitment talaga.
Correct.
It's never enough. Like your day, it's always kulang, you know, weekends are open for calls or work or whatever. So moving into the client side was really a conscious decision. While, you know, I know that I can still learn so much by working, like by staying at Geyser, I knew then that I needed sort of like take a step back and recalibrate. I joined Phil Realty. Phil Realty is one of those boutique developers. It's also sort of like a heritage brand. It's a family-owned holdings company that is mostly into like small boutique developments of like really high-end products. So 5 years of that was really about rebuilding the brand. So prior to me joining, the Phil Realty was part of the 1997 Asian financial crisis. So they were one of those companies that folded and went into receivership. So it was like, it's almost like it's a success story. So like the time that I joined Phil Realty, they were sort of like rebuilding the brand. So it was kind of interesting that I became part of it, no? Like a legacy brand that is trying to reintroduce itself to like a completely different market, because they were technically on a break for a little bit, no? For over one decade. So they weren't really doing much, just trying to keep afloat. So when I joined, I launched a project in New Manila. So focused on really just trying to sell
townhouses.
No, these are condo units, but like large cuts. Average cut is like a 205 square meter condo. Very low density, high rise, but like
one balete.
One balete, yes. Sky
Holy
Villas.
Shit!
Oh my god! Yeah.
Again, I'm from Kamuning, so I know that's
you
my
know,
hood.
There pala. You go.
Yeah.
So that was really that project that I worked on.
That's
for
ultra high end, by the way. I love the suites there. Oh my god.
It's a good project. It's an interesting project.
Sounds good. Now, all right, Drew. After all of this, so now culmination. How did you and Jules then congregate? It's right smack in the pandemic of how Itu was born.
So Jules and I have been friends since college, right? And I personally believe that it's really high risk to work with friends. But I always feel like some of my best friends, I met them through work.
Yes.
So parang I kind of like, I'm more biased towards that process of like relationship progression. So if I work with you and then we do work well together and then we end up being really good friends, like I become like a godfather to all your children, and you know, we go on holidays and trips together. So I always like that. I remain friends with almost everyone I've met since I started working, like actively, like once in a while I would meet with them, etc. So I kind of like that. And on the flip side of it, I'm not really a fan of like working with your barkada, like, you know, one of your best friends. Because I think it's more risky. I've heard so many stories of like people having to, you know,
walk bridges. Away
from not just the venture, but also the friendship, right?
All
so
right.
It ends badly for like some people that I know. Geyser Mark actually gave me an opportunity to really see how it is to work with Jules. So okay. Like in college, we were just like friends. So Jules took up journalism, I took up communication arts. We became friends because of a political party. So yung pagiging noisy namin, I think it started a long time ago. But okay. Anyway, that was like a common, that was a common interest of us na to be part of that, you know. Kunwari ano, kunwari woke. I mean, I think at all time, pag woke ka, parang part ka ng either a debate team or like a political
team. Yep. Especially in UST.
Yeah, and AB, medyo big deal yung political parties in AB. I mean, we live in the same building. I think doon ka rin, di ba?
Yeah, but you guys are noisier downstairs.
Super. Anyway, so guys actually gave me that sort of like, because we were working closely also. We weren't working like together, but we were doing the same thing and servicing. So there's collaboration. I kind of like have an understanding of like, I learned how she is in the work environment. No? So during the pandemic, I decided actually in 2019, I think, pre-pandemic, I actually decided to resign from Phil Realty to, I wanted to do something else. So 5 years was like really like, it's a long time. I mean, parang nakababad na and really like, I'm ready. I want to, you know, I want to start like, not necessarily starting my own business, but like a completely different industry altogether, or like a different environment, different company, or like a different culture, whatever. So I was like considering like, do I work abroad? Do I take a regional role, etc. So I did file for resignation. I flew to Europe for 1 month after I left Realty. And then I told myself, okay, so when I fly back to Manila, it's Christmas. I'll probably, you know, just wait it out. And then I'll start like first quarter of Jan of the following year, 2020. Come 2020.
Pandemic
happened. So Jules, now that she's back with internet, you tell...
She never left. What are you talking about?
March 2020. No, she knows what she should say next.
Okay. So I was in, I think Andrew might have mentioned already, no? I was in Los Angeles. I was studying data science, no, at the UCLA. To me, at the time, we were really doing a lot of case studies on tech companies about how they're leveraging on data, no, for business strategy. And also at the time, no, I moved to downtown LA. I think that was at the height of a pandemic, and I was sort of like forced to buy all my furniture, empty space, in downtown LA. I had to sort of like buy everything online. My furniture, kasi nga, it's an empty apartment, right? So that's when I really experienced the joy of furnishing a space through online. And at that time, si Andrew Bercasio among our friends was the go-to, no, for home interior styling, etc. So tinawagan ko siya. Sabi ko, Andrew, can you help me? I've never done this. Can you help me naman ano, arrange my small unit and what items I should be buying, etc. So tinunungan niya ako, nilayoutan niya pa ako in, you know, in a piece of paper, and then he sent to me via email. At the time, I was really having fun having to do this, di ba? And that was, to me, sabi ko, it was fun, but at the same time, it was easy despite the pandemic. So sabi ko, after a few months nga into the program, no, sabi ko, you know what, I can have this, parang create a tech company where we can make furnishing not only easy and convenient, but also fun. So that's how E2 started as a tech company, as a startup. And Andrew, being that go-to person for everything home, was the perfect co-founder for it. But also, understanding our shared hustle, kasi nga we work together, you know, and then we're friends pa. So yon, so that's how it started.
I think just to add to Jules, what Jules shared, it really was like the mere fact that she moved to the States March, so literally almost every like showroom was closed. There was nothing happening.
Yeah,
she was so proud that she was able to furnish her empty apartment in like 7 days. She literally ordered everything from Wayfair, from Crate and Barrel, Pottery Barn. So it was
That's Queer Eye-ish, guys. I only see that on Queer Eye. Okay.
I know. So it was essentially still business as usual. On the other hand, as Jules mentioned, so I'm not an interior designer by profession, but I think I'm very interested with it. Almost all of our friends know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. So they would go to me for these things, no? Like, so where to source this and that. So I'm quite familiar with sort of like the landscape. And I hadn't realized how fragmented or how,
yep.
I guess, how inconvenient it was then to source for furniture and furnishing up until the pandemic happened. Because during the pandemic, almost all of the showrooms that I usually frequent were all closed. When you talk to them on their Facebook pages, on Instagram, they wouldn't take your orders. And then they don't know how to go about it. Parang they would say, we'll wait baka in a month or two. Magbubukas na kami ulit. So you can just go visit the showroom, you know. So it was still that mindset na parang a lot of these, like, my favorite stores to go to for sourcing weren't really, like, thinking of how are we going to continue business. They were just, like, on pause, on hold, right? Yeah. And during the pandemic, while people moved in to, like, move back to their homes or, like, marami ring relationships na foster, at the same time, marami ring relationships that ended during the pandemic. So, you know, I would get every now, like in the first few months, especially in 2020, I would get messages from friends na, I'm moving out of my parents' house kasi nag-away na kami dahil parati kami magkasama. O kaya, you know, yung partners who used to live together but actually are both professionals and they don't really spend time together, all of a sudden, parang decided to call it quits kasi parang they realized na they can't live together pala. So parang, you know, say, I found this apartment. Can you help me naman source for like a mattress or like a bed frame? Or like, can you help me, yeah, you know, set this up, etc. So I was doing sort of that because obviously unemployed. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. So, and then I start, like, it was such a struggle. I was calling like several brands that I know. A lot of them were like, almost all of the orders I made for on behalf of my friends were delayed or like, I had to settle for like what's available or, you know, what can get delivered sooner, etc. So it was really that. And then again, Jules was taking up data science. She had this experience in mind na parang, ang dali-dali dito sa state. So parang every time that we would call each other, diba, in the beginning, I know you remember this, but in the beginning, people make an effort to do like, once a month video call with friends. So parang,
yep,
human over
check Zoom. Check in on everyone, right? Yeah.
Especially in the beginning. So parang a lot of our conversations revolve around like the conveniences of like being in a space, like in LA, for example, for Jules and us here. So our other partner, our other co-founder, si Anna Baba, actually during the pandemic, she decided to move to a horizontal space. Kasi naka condo siya in Eastwood. And you know, people were fearful about like the shared elevator space, the common lobby, etc. So she had to move back to Parañaque and had a similar experience because she had to like fill up like a house. Like it was a huge house. She was living in a condo. So essentially nothing made sense. So she couldn't take her condo furniture to her house. She really wanted to like really build it at the time of the pandemic. So parang nung we were talking over and over about these things, like helping each other. We're helping each other figure out like how to do it best, etc. And then Jules was like floating the idea, na parang what if we look into the furniture industry?
That is,
we did our research.
All right, that is amazing. And now let's take our last break, and when we come back, we will now talk about how you're then able to get this idea in the very early versions of Itu to now becoming a company and again being part of the latest cohort of Ideaspace, and also was able to run funding and get funding and even literally start like a real tech startup. But let's talk about that more after the break.
Hey Hustlers, it's time to talk business once again, and we're excited to share a bit more info about our sponsor, Sprout Solutions. And again, just like what I said at the start of the episode, you should check out Sprout's Payroll Starter as you grow your own startup. Because this bundle that they have is literally what you need to take your startup to the next level as you grow your employees. And this bundle is your key to freedom, including payroll outsourcing to experts, a subscription to timekeeping and attendance software, and government compliance services. Sprout's Payroll Starter Recorder has you covered for payroll, BIR, SSS, and taxes. All the stuff that no founder loves to do. So let Sprout handle the busy work and say goodbye to lines and tax payment stress. All this for as low as 5,000 pesos. Again, that's just 5,000 pesos all in for your payroll and HR needs. So visit sprout.ph, payroll-starter-monthly-5k, or again, just click the link in the description box of this episode to elevate your business management game. And again, big thank you to Sprout Solutions, liberating your time for what truly matters. Hey hustlers, wish there was an easy way to open a bank account and grow your money without the hassle of lengthy application process and income documents? Well, I got good news, because today's sponsor, Uno Digital Bank, is here to help you achieve your financial goals. You can easily open an account with the Uno app in just 5 minutes and one valid ID. And as one of the 6 digital banks licensed by the Banco Central ng Pilipinas, the company is committed to providing customers with simpler, better, and more accessible banking. Last year, Uno Bank was recognized by the Asia Banking and Finance Awards and bagged the title Open Banking Initiative of the Year due to the success of its partnership with GCash, one of the Philippines' leading mobile wallet platforms. And with the Uno mobile app, you can access an hashtag Uno Ready Savings account and enjoy daily interest crediting. With their hashtag Uno Earn or hashtag Uno Boost Time Deposit accounts, you can enjoy a high interest rate of up to 6.5% per annum. Enjoy monthly payouts with hashtag Uno Earn and flexible tenors with hashtag Uno Boost. Other app features include pay bills, the Uno Virtual Debit MasterCard, life insurance, scan and pay with QRPH, and phones. And the one thing that I really love about Uno Digital Bank is they're open to collaborate with a lot of Filipino startups. I've had a chance to see the partnerships that they've had lined up with the startups that they have, and it's truly exciting to see how a digital bank like Uno can enable startups to unlock the power of fintech through digital banking. So if you're ready to elevate your banking experience, download the Uno mobile app today from the Google Play Store or App Store. Or if you want to collaborate with them, I'll be happy to give you an intro. Just shoot us an email at hello@huffleshare.com. Hey hustlers, I hope you're having a great 2024 so far. As you know, a lot of startups had a very challenging 2023, and hopefully things are going to do better this year for a lot of us. Not just because it's the year of the dragon, but also because our sponsor, DragonPay, is here to help your startups process payments in the most efficient way. Established in 2010, DragonPay empowers businesses of all sizes to accept and disburse payments through secure and convenient channels, giving your customers the flexibility to choose the payment method that suits them best. With over 85 partner channels, 35,000 partner branches nationwide, including QRPH, e-wallets, crypto, buy now, pay later, and many more. They also process an astonishing 15 million transactions processed globally each month. DragonPay is your trusted choice for online payments. And here's something to show you how legit DragonPay is. DragonPay was named Fintech of the Year at last year's Philippine Fintech Festival in 2023. So let's make 2024 extra prosperous for you and your startup in this year of the dragon. For more details, head on over to dragonpay.ph. That's dragonpay.ph. Trust the pioneer. Trust DragonPay. And we're back from the break. We are still with Jules and Drew of Itu, who then told us how they were able to do it. But first things first, I want to understand. So again, pandemic, everybody was scared. Everybody never really understood what the hell was going on and what's up and coming for us. And you guys are here basically uncovering this, the very start of a flourishing business. Two things I want to know, right? How did you decide that, all right, why not? How do you decide that this is going to be a main hustle? It's just Jules, you're in LA. Drew, you're basically just sourcing this out of papers for friends. But how do you decide, all right, all in, let's try to do this? And number two, if you're going to go all in, you need puhunan. You need to be able to fund this and survive at the same time. How did that work out?
I think at the core of it, no, we got excited about the idea of working together. So parang because, you know, we've been friends for so long, we've worked together. Our other business partner, Anna Igual, actually used to be Jules' client. who also became her friend. So there was that sort of like, I think on the emotive side of it, parang the idea of like doing this together really excited us. But also at the same time, we looked into our different skill set, our different experiences. And then we looked at, we really took our time. And this is serious. Like we really looked into the industry with whatever is available that we can find. So we interviewed friends. We looked at online data. Part of our, Jules and I, when we were working for Geyser, we actually represented or did PR and marketing for Saitem, which is the government agency in charge of design expositions, right? Wow. So it's really their main event twice a year is actually Manila Fame. So we did PR for Manila Fame for a couple of years. So we actually have access to the database, and we know of these designers. We know of the kind and the quality of design that they put out. And we know for a fact that based on personal experience, all of them are struggling. We realized it was highly fragmented. I think there's really so much opportunity. People at the time in 2020, people were starting to transition. More and more Filipinos were shopping online. So tumataas yung consumption of like people supporting or downloading or transacting online. So parang it was like really like all the directions were pointing towards like, oh, you should do this. And then you were talking about funding, you know. Surprisingly enough, meron akong former client, actually hindi client, but naging friend ko na din na entrepreneur, naging friend namin ni Jules. Uh-huh. When we had the initial deck, he was one of the person we wanted to reach out to and check, you know, would you be interested to fund this? And fortunately for us, it only took us 2 meetings. And then he decided to be our angel investor. And he asked to be our only angel investor at that time. So
who is this? Name the who.
So this is RT Heptagon Holdings. So it's a one-person corporation.
Wow.
And we were very fortunate and grateful he really showed his support. Day zero, obviously, we pitched to him a deck. We know him from, you know, a few meetings and like social gatherings. We haven't really worked together. But you know how it is. I mean, it's a risk. Everything in startup is essentially a risk. And
yep,
he took it with us. He gave us that sort of like talagang boost na, okay, then we can get started. Like we can really do this. Kasi we have the concept, we have the idea, we did our research. We paid our dues and someone is willing to, you know, full tank our car, right? So we can really move forward. So that's really that.
That is amazing. Now, again, well, you guys are now all in. How did you then build two things, the team and the product, right? So this is a two-sided marketplace. You have an unfair advantage where you're able to source out the thing. And that's any key to every two-sided market. What I love about what you guys do is you already knew the unfair advantage. Just if both are both question marks, you have almost zero chance of success. You want to have an unfair advantage in at least the demand or the supply. You have that in the supply. But again, product-wise, you need to give this a home. You need to put this in a website that people are going to be willing to actually do what they want to do, which is source out without you having to do it for them all the time. And second, you can't just do it on your own. You need to build a team to support you guys. So how did that work?
Tama ka, as much as we're all we try to wear so many hats every day, right? I mean that's like a startup thing. Like you try to do like 7-8 different roles all at the same time, right? All together.
It's impossible.
But obviously, in the beginning, like the product, no. Let's talk quickly about the product. Obviously there's the obvious choice option, which is Shopify, but we knew from the get-go that we wanted to use a language or like a software that's more robust, because I think from the onset we were able to already identify all the verticals that we want to launch, like at least for the first 7 years of operating the business. So may medyo unfair advantage because nga, we know a little bit about the industry. We have experience working for tech startups. We know like the supply side, etc. So we kind of know already like where we want to take the business, and we needed to get or to onboard like a language or like a software that will carry that out, like in at least in the next. So the option was either we build our own or we go with Magento. So we ended up getting Magento. We hired a tech firm from India.
Yeah.
To help us put this up. So that took a little bit, obviously. We tried. We actually tried having it made in the Philippines. But at that time,
gotta do what you gotta do.
Yes. It was more cost efficient and we ended up working with this tech firm from India. And it took a while. I think it took us about 7 to 8 months to really fine-tune before we can even launch it. And obviously every day we're still iterating, we're still improving, we're still looking into plugins. I think that's one of the things that I know that we actually appreciate about the startup community. No, so right now we're working with 2 or 3 other startups that were also incubated by Ideas Space, for example.
Yep.
And really looking at points of collaboration.
Mm-hmm. But how are you then able to then build a team and allow that to scale? Because again, you can't do that alone. What was the team like?
So the team, almost everyone we work with now, we've actually worked with in our past iterations. So I think that's both good and bad. So I think a lot of especially the pioneering team now, it is essentially still the pioneering team. Obviously, we're still a very lean team.
Yeah.
The first the first 15 hires, 10 of them we've worked with in the past. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. So parang when we had this idea, we started getting serious about this and we had funding, we did a sort of a structure, an organizational chart of the roles that are essential, meaning the roles that we can't perform. So we looked into who do we know can do this, na parang alam na they know na how to work with us or kilala na nila tayo, and obviously they're willing to also risk and move in now with us. So we're grateful for them. Shout out to all of our teammates nagtiwala, I think, kasi mahirap eh. When we invited them over, again, we showed them a deck. We told them that it's a high risk kind of transaction, right? Na parang we're gonna pluck you out from your full time regular corporate work, and we're gonna ask you to join something that's very ad hoc, very agile.
Yeah,
it's a completely different environment. So we're happy that we were able to find, I think, the right people. Who are willing to actually be slashers, perform different tasks.
Multi-hyphenates.
Yeah.
Whatever you call them.
I think while we're all for the work-life balance, we actually are very, very also...
You need Swiss knives. The first 10 to 20 people that you hire in a startup need to be at Swiss knives with at least 2 to 3 super skills. You can't just have one trick ponies who are just I want work-life balance. Sorry. Go find another 100%. Chill astro. There's no such thing.
So I think my advantage that we know them already and they already know us. Kasi medyo hindi siya mahirap na ask. I can imagine if it's a stranger and I'm gonna tell the stranger, oh, you have to help with product and then you have to do content and you have to that's not how it should work.
There's already rapport there, and again, past hustles, that's it. But again, I wish we had more time, Drew, but just last few questions. When did you guys decide? No, before we even decide the fundraising, how did you, when you launched, how was that growth? Because again, what blew me away when you guys were pitching in Idea Space Demo Day is the freaking GMV that you guys had. You already had, you were knocking this out of the park. So when you launched, what was that like?
Another loaded question. Obviously, it's not easy. It still isn't. We're grateful for the small wins. I say this with all humility. No, I always tell people na, you have to celebrate small wins. But, parang sinabi ko lang siya forever as a pat response, but I never really understood it until... parang startups. I started working doing E2 na parang shit, parang galing akong Lazada, but Lazada was a different time.
Yeah.
It was a different set of problems.
Yeah.
I guess comparatively loaded yung Rocket Internet. So
yeah.
I mean, to be blunt about it, it was problematic, but it was easy because, you know, you can pay people essentially to do shit, right? But this one, I mean, madami talaga, like sacrifices have to be made. You try to work eight hours a day. But we're grateful. I think we're very particular about listening. I think the success or the small wins that we're able to now gain or experience is because of the fact that we're also very agile talaga. I think the team in particular, coming tatlo nila Jules and Anna, while we love our ideas, like we love our product, but we also hate it at the same time. So meaning like we're always parang it's sort of like we're proud of it, but at the same time we know it's problematic or we know that it can still be improved. So that's really how I think after the first 6 months, like on the 7th, nagkaroon na kami ng traction, we were listening. So we were interviewing our customers. We were asking people to try our website and like doing our own parang when we can, mga intimate interviews, etc. And we would really for example, we've transitioned to now focusing more on B2B. So we work with more contractors, interior designers, architectural firms. Even our product mix have changed. Like, so hindi na siya, like, in the beginning, we were just really married on parang slow moving, high design furniture. Now we're looking into more like accessible pieces, etc. So parang there's this, we're also like, one of the things that we learned, part of it was parang we wanted to do furniture reupholstery, so repair, etc. But in our 7-year plan, it was parang part of year 4 pa. But upon launching, parang I've received 80 inquiries na parang, can you repair this? Can you change this finish? Can you do this, etc.? And then for the first 80 times, I said, you know, that's in our pipeline, but we can't do that yet. Until it was like, ang dami ng inquiries. Sabi ko, baka it's about time. So now, it's also one of the things that we work, that we really offer furniture repair. So I think that's a lot of listening.
Right. And that's a market telling you what they really want. And that's what, at the end of the day, that's what you need to be able to bridge and service out. Now, again, last question before I wish we had more time, but maybe on Founders Only when you guys come back after a few more years. But how did this whole thing come to, becoming a company that you really wanted to race more aggressively? Was that part of the plan from the get-go? And, all right, let's do a proper tech startup because I guess you guys are already almost running it almost profitably, if not even profitably already. How did you then decide, like, all right, let's do this? And how did that turn into Startup QC, to Ideaspace, and all these things?
We have big dreams, obviously. I think this is really a version 1.5. I think ang pangarap namin is to take it version 6, no? And really, really make it profitable. So we need all the help that we can get. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly, there's so much that we still want to do. And I think that continues to inspire us.
Yep.
Siguro, we still believe in the product. So I think, and the opportunity also, I think we're very aware that there is really still things, a lot of things that we need to do. So that's why that inspires or that triggers all these, like, you know, joining different cohorts so we can learn from mentors and like fundraising, which is obviously something that we need to be able to take the product to the next level, hopefully offer more and solve more problems from both the supply side and the customer or end user side.
That is amazing. Again, thanks so much, Drew. I hope we had more time again. Definitely have an open invitation for you guys to come back. But again, before I let you go, invite people over if they want to be able to budol and give a really, really nice home or office that they need to do. And again, they want to shop from you guys. Where do they go and how do they do that?
So thank you again also for giving us this platform and opportunity to talk about our hustle. No? So for everyone who's listening, please visit shope2.com. It really is. We hope that you can find something that you can add to your home style. We also have our YouTube channel. It's shope2, where we put out content regularly. We do home tour videos of people with unique style, etc. We hope you can check us out and let us know. Send us a message. We're very responsive. Website, social media, Viber, wherever. You can call us anytime and we'll help you with whatever you need.
Sounds good. Again, Jules and Drew, thank you very much. But before I let you go, follow us on whatever podcast app you're listening to, whether Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any type of podcast app. And if we did say some jargon, just like the link that Drew just said, don't worry, you don't have to write it down. It's going to be the show notes on hustleshare.com. If you want to also be one of the supporters that we have, just like Angelo Lee, Jab Abbott, and all the other brands that support the Hustle Share podcast, you can go to premium.hustleshare.com to check out and you can give us support so that we can keep doing this for 5 years on. We will never stop until I stop. I become an AI, hopefully. So we do this forever. Amen. Again, Drew and Jules, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And all hope right. to bump into you one soon.
Definitely. Sounds good. And again, if I see you guys, you're probably going to be the noisiest in the room.
The most passionate naman.
And noisy. Okay, sounds good. But I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace. We'll be right back.